Tonight, if you would, turn to the Word of God, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. While you're turning to that passage, let me just say thank you to Kyle. That's the first time I've ever seen one usher take up all the offering in a Baptist church in all my life. You did a great job, man. That was good. You did a really good job. I like that. And all by himself, just took right. Did you see that? And I appreciate you doing that, buddy. Thank you very much. Jeannie also wanted me to mention to you that there will be no choir practice after the service tonight. That gives me permission to preach an extra 30 minutes longer. And what you coughing about? Oh, I just wondered. That was perfect timing there, wasn't it? So.
No,
this is your last Sunday night off, she said. Okay. Well, yeah, last two Sunday nights we've been in our community revival, and so we're back here tonight, and so we appreciate it so much. But so no choir practice, and I won't preach an extra 30 minutes. I was just kidding about that. So that's all right. But we are continuing our series tonight, and from a theme that I've just taken as I've been studying the Word of God, noticing all the different names that God uses to refer to His children. And we've looked at many of those. I'm not going to go back and repeat all those. In fact, last Sunday morning, we actually plugged one of those in. But tonight, I want to pick up in a verse of Scripture that brings us to another name that God calls us. And in these names, we've been able to learn much about who we are and our relationship with God and what God expects from us and what we should be doing in our walk with God as He addresses us by various names in Scripture. Remember Proverbs 22:11 tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So there's something very important about a name. And when God calls us something, there's a reason for it. And so we looked at all those wonderful names, and we're going to look at another one tonight. So if you found 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, I want you to stand as we honor God's Word. Just one verse here. Peter writes in verse 10 of chapter 4, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Now notice this, here's the name. "As good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Underline that word steward tonight. This is where we're going to be. Because it is this name that in our part 6 of our study that we're going to look at, names that God calls us. And there's a reason He calls us a steward. And there's an important reason that we need to understand that tonight. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, it's been a wonderful day in Your house. This morning's service and our time of Sunday school and Bible study. Tonight with our youth in Awana and then here in our evening service. Lord, we just want to thank You for the opportunity to be here with Your people. And here with those who are visiting with us today, we thank You for that. And Lord, I pray that in this moment we have as we conclude this day of worship and ministry, Lord, that we'll just take and understand what You have for us to understand about this very important name that You've called us. And there's a reason for it. And I pray that we'll learn much from Your Word tonight to help us in our walk with You, to strengthen our relationships with each other, and to be faithful in our service for You. We ask, Lord, that You do all of that for us tonight and strengthen us and help us. Be with those on our names, on our prayer lists, and those in our church family. Lord, we ask that You just be with each one today. Be with our missionaries, Lord, as they serve around the world, sharing Your gospel and Your love and Your mercy to many who have never heard before. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe. And now, Lord, I pray that in this hour, Lord, that we'll draw close to You as a result of being in this place tonight. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction tonight, as we look at this verse, and we'll look at some more verses in Scripture tonight in relation to this, I was reading about the early Methodist leader, the great John Wesley, who helped found what became known as the Methodist denomination and wrote many hymns. You find John Wesley's name underneath many of the great hymns of the faith. He wrote this one time in one of his sermons. He said this, quote, says, "When the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being, and when He placed you in this world, He placed you here not as the owner of this world, but as a steward." John Wesley's right. He understands the verse of what this verse is saying in other verses. And there's something very important about what he said, and something that's very important about this verse that I want you to understand before we get into the main points of the message. And the fact is that it gives us those basic principles of God's ownership and our stewardship. God owns it all, and God's put us here to manage what he owns. When we get that into our heart, settle that truth in our mind once and for all, I am convinced that we will have a better walk with God. I'm convinced we'll enjoy our life as Christians. And by the way, we'll have a better perspective of what it's all about here on this earth. Because I'm afraid that too many of us in this modern day are too attached to the things of the world. And I'm afraid that that's what causes us to fail many times in our walk with God, in our service for God, while we don't have this building full and running over every service like it should be. I'm convinced, I believe that with all my, and as much as I enjoyed all of our services of the revival, I was still brokenhearted that we didn't have as many people there as I thought we should have. I just go ahead and tell you, I told all the other preachers that night, and every night that we were there. There was a bunch of folks that should have been there, could have been there in our churches, in our community. Now, there's no real problem. The problem is we got too much of ourselves in the world, and we can't let go of it enough to allow God to do something in our lives. Amen. And we sit around and moan and groan and gripe and complain and bellyache because God doesn't bless me, and God doesn't provide for my needs, and God don't give me this, and God don't give me that. Well, listen, brother, you just got too much a hold of the things of the world. If you just let go of it and then let God do what he wants to in your life, he will bless you more than you can understand. That stewardship, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What does this word steward mean? And as we look at this and answer that question, it'll give us a great understanding of what it's about. Number one, so what is a steward? We use this term. God uses this statement in this passage. He calls us a steward. We'll see it in other places tonight. And so what is a steward? Well, the Greek word, I'm not going to go too much detail on all the Greek stuff, but the Greek word in the New Testament that's used, that's translated steward here, comes actually from two words. The one Greek word is divided up in two words. And those words mean house and to manage. It means house and to manage, the word steward. So what they're actually saying here is this word combined means that a steward is a ruler or a manager of someone's house or someone's property. Okay? They don't own it. They just manage it. They just oversee it. Jesus said in Luke 12:42, he asked, "Who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household?" So the name in the Greek words that we get the word steward, it means that a person who is responsible to his master for the business, for the household, for the property. He's a manager. He's an overseer. He's a steward. Now, that is the word that God uses to call you and me. We're a manager. We're an overseer. We're a steward. All right? So that's the Greek word. Now, the modern day English meaning, when we look at where our English word comes from, it goes back to an old English word, styward, S-T-Y. Word, S-T-Y-W-A-R-D, steward. And it referred to one, get this is true, referred to the person who kept the pigsty, the pig pen. All right? They were the ones who kept and oversaw and cleaned it up and took care of that. All right? Eventually, the steward word evolved from old English word to our newer English word, steward. And Webster's Dictionary says that this is a person who is a manager, supervisor, an administrator, or the keeper of a trust to whom one has been given the purpose and managing and responsibility for the owner and for which an account must be given to the owner for their job and their role as a manager. Now, putting all those things together, what does that give us? That means that what God has entrusted to us, God owns everything. It's all his.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, my name's on my title of my car or the deed of the house. It's still God's.
Amen.
biblically, it's still God's. He allowed you to get a job, to work for it, provide you with the ability to make a living, to buy that house and own that property and do that thing. And if you think it's yours and not God's, that's your first big problem. When you understand that all of everything you own is God's and not yours, you take a very big step in your walk with God and understanding what God expects and wants out of you. And then when you understand that what He has allowed you to have, where He's allowed you to live, what He allows you to drive, what He allows you to wear, what He allows you to hold and punch and play on and do with your jobs and your schoolwork and all those things, you are an overseer of that property. And you're a manager. And one day you'll give an account for it. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But there's a biblical example of this, if you want to understand this. It was a guy by the name of Joseph. Remember Joseph and his coat of many colors? Sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ends up in prison in Egypt, and through some supernatural events of the hand of God, he ends up in the house of Potiphar. Very wealthy, very influential Egyptian. And in chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, in 4 through 6, you can go back and read how that God had put Joseph there, and Potiphar assigns to Joseph the task and the responsibility of being the manager and the overseer, the supervisor, the steward of all of his household, all of his properties, all of his business. And Joseph was a steward. Joseph was a manager for Potiphar. So that's an example of how that works. And that's just one biblical example. You can read that story later on. So that's what a steward is. So understand, steward's a manager. Steward's an overseer. Steward's someone who works and manages someone's property, household, and so forth. All right, so that brings me to question number two. So who is a steward? According to the Word of God, who is a steward? Look in our text that we read in 1 Peter 4:10. It makes it very plain who it is. Every man that had received the gift of salvation, the gift of God. Every one of God's children, we are a steward of everything that we have. Now, there's many verses that I could take. And in fact, I'm going to give you an example of being a steward here tonight in my sermon. As I was preparing this and working on this all week, I came to the realization that I had too much material for a Sunday night service. I promise you I did. I had 10 pages of notes to preach on tonight. I had more notes. I started studying stewardship and started studying managing and overseeing. Man, I had myself time this week. But I was racking it up. I had notes. They were going one way. I really was. I was enjoying myself. And in fact, I came home late one night and wondered what in the world, where the time went. I was just enjoying it. And I realized I had too much stuff to preach in one Sunday night service. And I realized, wait a minute, I've got to be a smart overseer, steward, manager of the time that I've got to preach this sermon tonight, and a manager of the time that you've given here tonight. And so there was no way I could preach all of this material. So I had to cut her down from 10 pages to 4 in order to get all this in. So I'm giving you a practical example of the Bible, but you're getting one in flesh tonight of what it means to be a manager. I'm being a proper manager of this time because the Bible tells us we're all managers of everything. So many scriptures you will take a study. In fact, that may be one of those Wednesday night Bible studies over 3 or 4 Wednesday nights that we may take and dive into all that 10 pages of notes that I've taken. And we may dive into that sometime. But I've heard many Christians say, well, I just can't serve God. There's nothing I can do. God hasn't called me to any specific ministry. I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts and so forth. And I think there's a reason that many people feel this way. First of all, there's a misunderstanding of what constitutes Christian ministry. I think there's a misunderstanding is that you think you have to have a seminary degree or college education. Somehow or another, you have to be licensed or ordained in order to do Christian ministry. And that's not found in the Word of God. Every child of God is called to be a steward of the ministries of God. Every one of us. You're a steward of that Sunday school class, teacher. You're a steward of that Awana program and that Awana group that you have. You're a steward of that youth group. You're a steward of that music ministry. You're a steward of your deacon ministry and your role. You're a steward of that stewardship team. You're a steward of the sound room. You're a steward of being an usher. You're a steward of everything that God gives you to do. You are in the ministry. Every one of us. There's another misunderstanding. That's many people think that they don't have any giftedness, that they're not gifted. And we've taught, and we'll teach again, and there are passages in Romans and 1 Corinthians that we go in great detail about what spiritual gifts are. And that every believer, as a child of God, has been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit of God to use for His glory and the work of His church. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. You say, "Preacher, I can't sing." Well, that's not a spiritual gift. That's a physical talent. Well, I can't play the piano. That's not a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is something that God does with you that you can't do on your own, that apart from the help of God, you could never do it anyway. That's a spiritual gift. And there's listings of those in Scripture. We've gone into details, and that's part of the 10 pages of notes that I left out so I can get through the rest of this tonight. All right? But understand this. You are a steward. Not everybody's a public speaker. Not everybody can do ministries in front of people. There's so many things that go on around this church that are behind the scenes that some people never see. There are many things that take place in planning and preparation and work and doing that go on that people never see on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights during the services. All of those are very important. And every one of those are so important that God says He gifts them to us to use as an opportunity to give God glory in all that we do. So don't worry about that you don't do something like somebody else does. Because it was a great day in my ministry when I realized that God did not expect me to preach like Billy Graham. It was a great day in my ministry when I was not going to be held up to God's standard compared to other preachers. God's just going to judge and reward me because of who I am. We'll talk about that in a minute. But He's not going to compare you to somebody else. So quit comparing yourself to other people. Okay? Quit comparing what you can do and what you can't do to somebody else in some other church, in some other ministry, in some other place. You are a steward, and God's gifted you to do that. That brings me to number three. So what are the expectations? What are the expectations of a steward? Well, here's where we're going to flip to another verse, and here's where I want you to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 2. The Bible says that, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. He says before that in verse 1, he says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, both the first two verses, just mark both of those down and underline those in your Bible and take account of those, really give us the expectations of what God expects from you as a steward. I'll just tell you, Sunday school teachers, God does not expect you to teach that Sunday school class like Herschel Hobbs, the great Bible teacher of Baptist churches of days gone by. He does not expect you to teach like Matthew Henry. All right? Singers in the choir, God does not expect you to sing like some great professional choir organization when you stand up here on Sunday morning and sing. He does not expect you to do that. And Hannah, you sang this morning, and your mom, Rhonda, sang tonight. God does not compare you to some great celebrity, multi-million selling platinum album singer tonight. God doesn't compare you to them. So why do we compare ourselves to other people? That's not God's expectations of you. God doesn't expect you to hit every note every time. God doesn't expect me to get the sermon all perfectly laid out every time and to where the crowd is just on the edge of their seat for the 30, 45 minutes, hour and a half, every how long I preach, you know. He's not expecting that. That's not what God judges us by. Vicky's not going to judge you playing that piano based on how well you play compared to Rudy Atwood. Do you know Rudy Atwood? Rudy Atwood is one of the greatest pianists of Christian faith. I had the privilege to sent under Rudy Atwood, Tennessee Temple. What a great man of God. What a great pianist. Played for Dr. Charles Fuller out in California on the great radio program Days Gone By. And what a piano player. And Doc, God's not going to compare your singing to George Beverly Shea. Now, he's not going to compare you to that. And it's just not the way it is. So what does God expect out of us? One word. Verse 2. Faithfulness. God expects you to be faithful. You don't have to be great, but you can be faithful. You don't have to be perfect, but you can be faithful. God is not going to use some measuring stick that the world comes up with. And many people think that, and they consider themselves failures by the world's standards. They think a pastor is not successful tonight if his church isn't running over and overflowing. People standing outside to get in. I don't find that in the Word of God. We must remember that what God judges us on is our faithfulness. And one day we'll stand before Him and give an account. Romans 14:12 tells us that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must give an account of our lives as His stewards. We will give an account of how we handled our opportunities, how we handled our ministries, how we handled the gifts that He gives us. I heard one pastor say that what God expects, one day He will inspect. I thought that was good. That might go on a sign one of these days, Keith. That's good. What God expects, one day He will inspect. You'll stand before God one day, and you'll not stand before God and give an account of this preacher, or the deacons, or your Sunday school class. You'll give an account of what you have done in the service for God and your faithfulness to do what God's given you to do. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You do what God's called you to do, what He's entrusted you to oversee. You take care of that. And like my mama always says, you got a handful just taking care of you. Right? I don't know where we got the idea we're supposed to mind everybody else's business. Some of y'all can't even mind your own business. How in the world can you handle somebody else's? That's the truth. Faithfulness is what God expects. This very concept of responsibility, along with it comes accountability. We're accountable to God for what we do. I know I don't have to preach the greatest sermons. I know I don't. I don't have to. All I have to do is be faithful with what God's given. Be faithful in proclaiming what God's laid upon my heart, what He's given me the opportunity to study and prepare for. By the way, let me just go ahead and say it. Whether you show up or not, I'm still accountable and I still prepare and I still preach whether you're here or not on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. You understand that, don't you? Because I'm not accountable necessarily to you and how you like it, because one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my preparation and my heart and my genuineness and my faithfulness. So whether anybody shows up or not, I'm ready and caught and ready to go and preached every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Okay? At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll stand before God. We'll give an account as His manager, as His steward, of how we conducted the business of the Lord's work in our opportunities and our possession. So be faithful. That's what God expects from you. So let me sum this up. Let me conclude real quickly. We're managers. You're a manager. I don't know if you've ever worked a job as a manager in a store for some person who owned the store. But you find out that if you were just one of the regular hourly employees, you got those responsibilities. But then when you get promoted to manager, do you see all the work that comes along with it? When you're just a regular employee, it's one thing. But then when you become one of the supervisors and when you become one of the bosses and you have to oversee things, it changes everything, doesn't it? It's a whole world of stress that goes along with it sometimes. As a Christian, we're a steward. We're a manager. We've been entrusted by God with certain gifts, talents, opportunities, and we're to use those things well. We're to be faithful. We're to develop those gifts that God's given us. And to be a good steward in God's eyes is not the same as being successful in the eyes of the world. Please keep that separate. Please don't mix those up. Being a good steward in God's eyes is more important than being successful in the eyes of the world. I'll tell you this. God's rewards are far above the rewards of this world you could ever get.
Amen.
If you want to judge it by that and see which one's most important, you just go there. Jim Elliot was the great missionary who went to Ecuador and along with five others was martyred in the 50s for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been movies written and books written about his precious wife, Elizabeth Elliot, went on to be a great missionary herself and great writer, and she recently went to heaven as well. Jim Elliot had written in one of his diary posts one day a statement that became one that symbolized his life and became associated with his martyrdom as a missionary. He wrote this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That's good enough. I'm going to say it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Good stewardship is giving back to God what he has already given to us to manage for him, and then having to manage it well. One day, I trust that all of us could stand before the Lord. As we give an accounting of our managing and our stewardship of what God's given us to do, and he can look at us and say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God's not called you to be great. God's not called you to be perfect. God's not called you to be famous and wonderful. I trust that some of you will be those things in some ways, I'm sure. Here's what God has called you. He's called you to be a steward. He names you specifically as his child. You're a manager of the things that God has entrusted to us. We are managers of this ministry here at White Plains. We are managers, stewards of the grace of God. It's our responsibility to be faithful. I'm not sure exactly where this all fits into all the modern day gurus of church growth. I just know that God wants us to be faithful. So I want to invite you to stand right where you are with every head bowed and every eye closed. We're not going to sing or play, do any of those things tonight. It's been a great day in the house of the Lord. I just want you to right there in the quietness of this moment, no one moving around, no one leaving, and just right here for just a moment. Would you evaluate your faithfulness to God and what he's given you to do? Just evaluate your faithfulness. Some of you are extremely gifted in many areas. And I'm afraid many times we're not doing what God really expects of us to do. We're not being good managers of our gifts and our talents. God's gifted many of you in some great areas. Are you using it for the Lord? Are you faithful in those areas? Listen, you won't have to give an account to me one day as your pastor. You'll stand before God. My role as your pastor is to encourage you, teach you, preach the truth to you, and let the Holy Spirit work you over real good into doing what you should do for him. But just evaluate tonight your faithfulness. And if today were the day you were going to stand before God, if today were the day you were going to give an accounting of all of your life since the moment of your salvation, what would that look like? What would that look like? Would you be disappointed that you did not fulfill everything? Would you realize that you were not as faithful as you should? Would you realize that you missed opportunities for service and you allowed excuses and other things to come in the way? But one day we will stand before the Lord. So I want you tonight, before I pray, if that were today, what would it look like? And I want you to evaluate, and if you need to make some changes in your heart, you and God just do business right there. God, help me be more faithful. Help me to manage my time and my resources. Help me to manage my opportunities and my ministries, my gifts and my talents for your glory. Father, I pray right now as we end this day of worship and ministry, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I want to thank you that you've entrusted to us the opportunity to serve you. Lord, we don't have to compare ourselves to some other place, some other church, some other ministry. Lord, you've placed us here for this time. And you've expected us to be faithful, to manage, oversee certain areas. So I pray that we'll evaluate that and we'll be honest. And we'll make any changes that are necessary. Because one day we will stand before you. And we'll not give an account to the deacons or the nominating team. We'll not give an account to the pastor or the staff. Lord, we'll give an account to you and you alone as our Lord and Savior. I pray that all of us will hear those great words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So Lord, I pray that whatever we need to do better, whatever we need to be right, we'll make those changes immediately, not put it off, and serve you the ways that we should. Put away the excuses, put away the reasons, put away the anything that's hindering us, and give you all the glory for it. Bless us as we go out from this place this week. Help us as we serve you. Help us as we witness. Be a shining light in this community. May your name be honored and praised and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.